Off the Ball, GAA.
They say in person he's actually quite nice and you know, you enjoy his company and all that. That's not the same thing as sort of being able to project a political persona, I guess, you know?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own! He gets the try!
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line! Try for Munster!
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome along to the Red 78 on Off the Ball. My name is Rory O'Hagan, joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes to discuss Munster's second win of the URC season. 2-2 now for the Reds. We'll get into nitty gritty of that in a bit, but Munster beating Cardiff 23-20. We'll talk about our star of the week as well. And we're going to look ahead to Munster's clash with Edinburgh and Cork this coming weekend. So you're all very welcome along to the show. Quinny Hayes, how are you? How are you guys?
Good, Rory. Not too bad now. Good weekend of rugby, but on my own front, I suppose I was brought back down to earth. I had a great start to my coaching career up Dublin and then a big loss at home there on Saturday. So, yeah, it was good for me. Good for them to be brought back. So we'll have a hard week of training this week.
Yeah, a lot of hard work through the training pitch so this weekend, Fiona.
Oh, loads. There'll be a bit of video tonight now, later on. We'll have a look at a few areas and hopefully we're off next weekend though. So the women's has actually changed the format. It's 2-1 and then a weekend off. So it's not sticking with the men's AIL. So we do have a weekend off to work on a few areas as well.
Superb stuff. Mr. Quinlan, how are you, sir?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, all good, Rory. Well, Fiona was beaten at the weekend, but she's UL Bose next now, so she's going to be back to her old stamping
ground. The Hayes Derby.
Call it that.
Yeah, the Hayes Derby, but anyway, that's part and parcel of it now.
I let Peter Clossy out abusing me on the sideline.
Yeah, probably.
Happy days. All right, lads. Plenty to discuss on the show tonight, and we get on to Munster's win in a bit. Fiona, some comments reaching us on the show.
Yeah, look, cheers again for sending them in, lads. So we'll go with Conor Coonahan first. I was more impressed with the win on Saturday than I was with the win away to Scarlets. It was dogged gritty with a bit of class thrown in. Klein, Ahern, Gav and the two boys in the centre were excellent. Phil Quinlan has hopefully the sign of a good team is when they play a bit under par but still get the result. And Brian Laller, big Gav, Quinny, man alive. I think it was one of the best drive tries ever. Munster have developed some serious back row talent in all fairness. Billy Hayes in training with the seniors now too. The future is bright.
So yeah, two wins from 2-0 from Munster. Clint McMillan, Quinny, afterwards says it's better to win ugly than to lose pretty. Not exactly a golden Munster performance, but they got the job done.
Yeah, it's the best way of describing it. I thought it was a poor performance. They were off colour a little bit. Cardiff were excellent, to be fair. And there was some bit of zip or urgency missing from the team. And I don't think it was the best performance. I think they will be very pleased. And obviously, as the coach says, to win the game was the most important thing. I just had a bit of a flat kind of feeling to the whole performance. But ultimately, when you get the results, I think that, you know, that would be very pleasing. And you saw at the end the reaction, it was more relief. You have to give Cardiff credit. I think their back row were outstanding and they totally outplayed Munster's back row in that first half. So many turnover penalties, pressure at the breakdown, and Munster struggled big time. They got some excellent tries and Munster's defence was poor as well, I think, which I think if you look at the stats there, you know, turnovers lost to both sides were 11 each. You know, Munster missed 14 tackles in the game. Cardiff missed 12. It's a relatively low number. Tackles made are kind of similar as well. So Munster made 136, they made 127. So the missed tackles were low. I think the ones that Munster did miss and the line breaks that Cardiff got, which were six, they punished Munster, and they could never shake Cardiff off, even when they got back ahead a few times in the game. And you thought they were going to kick on, but they just weren't able to. So it was a lethargic performance, I think, and one that caused a little bit of concern, I think, because I think we were speaking about that kind of energy and zip and aggression that was there the week before, and they were flat on Saturday night, and the whole atmosphere kind of died a death near the end. And you look at Jack Crawley's drop goal, how important that was. I think if Cardiff had another 5 minutes in the game, you'd be worried and concerned. From their point of view, I think the tries were excellent, but you could look at, bar the cross field kick, the first one, the other tries were soft, and there was gaps and poor defensive decisions made by Munster players, and I think that is a little bit worrying. But I suppose when they review the game on Monday morning and look at it, they can pick out those pointers. And I thought the energy after half time was much better from Munster. I think it was very flat in that first half, but they just couldn't shake Cardiff off. And obviously you've got to give them credit, but I think it was not a great performance, I think, at all from Munster, and one that you want to be dominant at home. And I mentioned the week before about being hard to beat and hard to score against, and Munster weren't hard to score against on Saturday night, and they've it's still very early days as regards, you're only round two. And but I think scoring three tries, I think there's a bonus point gone there, begging really. And it can be significant towards the end when you're trying to jump up the table in that playoff, get into playoffs, and it could make a difference in the end. You want to try and grab every point you can. So I think they left a point behind them there, and all three, all four that they got could have been taken away, and obviously Crowley's drop goal, as I said, was very important. So I wouldn't panic or go too hard on them here, but I think they know themselves they can. There were certain areas that were frustrating, and particularly that breakdown and some of the physical collisions and their urgency to present quick ball to Ethan Coughlin, and they failed to kind of get their attack going on a number of occasions. So a bit of power and ballast got them over the line, but probably, yeah, relief that they got there in the end. But certainly it wasn't the best performance.
Yeah, Fiona, it is still early days, I suppose. I mean, like, the players are getting used to the new man in charge, the new systems, that it's going to take a while for them, I suppose, to get to know each other, I guess.
Yeah, look, and I mean, that's fair enough. I think, like, they did get the win. There was obviously some, Quinny's talking about the breakdown in particular. There was some ugly stuff with that breakdown, to be honest with you. They'd be disappointed because that was an area we talked about last week, how they were really physical, how they were dominating in the carry, but also that barreling, that clear out made it easy for Casey to move the ball. Whereas this week, what I noticed was when the ball broke down or when they weren't getting gain line and things became a little static or slow, that they were getting caught and the likes a man, Lawrence, they were over, Thomas, they were there, that back row where they're waiting for the poach. But certainly, I think the coaching staff, for me looking at it, it was a lot of that work on the ground when there was a spilled out ball, if someone gathered it, if they were caught, as I said, in contact, I think Nankivell a couple of times, and they just flopped into contact. So that's an area they can work really hard on this week about that fight trying to get over, because when the connections were off, like you said, Rory, they're relatively new, but certainly they would have just continuously be repping that barrel and repping their shape, how to get those clear outs. But when it broke down, I think their speed to get there and their work rate on the ground was probably a little bit off this week. But certainly, Quinny spoke about Jaeger last week. I thought the scrum again was good this week. I thought the line out percentage was high. Was it maybe two they lost? They stole that Wycherley steal as well, was absolutely pivotal. You look at the Dan Kelly try, I don't know where Quinny might actually chat about this. I don't know where they got that it could have been chalked off. So they could have put themselves, things could have been a little bit different, but certainly they'll be disappointed in certain areas. I thought Cardiff, Callum Sheedy in particular, I thought he was brilliant in pulling the strings, but certainly that if you go back to that Kelly try, what did you think, Quinny? Like, it was just momentum, surely was carried over. I thought that was a big miss by officials.
Yeah, it was a great bit of play from Jack Crowley to put
Pass.
in that chip kick, and then the kick cross field for him. I think the issue you have there is very simple. If the referee gives the try, if he sees it on the line, then he can ask the question, is there any reason why? So the TMO is looking for, conclusive evidence that the ball was on the line, and you couldn't really see that with the camera angle. So yeah, I thought it was a try. He slid from about 5 yards and then get a little bit of a shunt forward. So again, it just was it just kind of summed up the whole night that, you're waiting for a moment like that rather than creating a moment. I think obviously the Ruan Quinn try on 29 minutes,
It's lovely.
that was a brilliant try. That was well worked. But the other two, you look at Gavin Coombs and 53rd minute, and then the Diarmaid Byrne one. Well, the Gavin Coombs one is pick and go, and it's pure power and ballast. And Conor Cunahan mentioned that in his message there at the start when you're reading out the tweets. That was, that was great power. Well, sorry, it was Brian Lawler. That was great power from Munster there. We know Gavin Coombs is really good at that. Gavin Coombs was back after being in the bin for 10 minutes. It was a really, really silly yellow card that obviously, given the circumstances on the night, Munster could have done without. So they didn't really create a lot, and that was, it stemmed from what was happening up front and the quality of the ball and the breakdown. Again, you must give Cardiff some credit for this. Their back row were really good, but they were just off colour Munster, and that creativity and that energy and that spark wasn't there. So I expect that will be have been highlighted. And they were you'd have to say lucky is probably stretching it a little bit, but they were fortunate to get away and get a result there, and that's just the reality. But I think you could hear the Cardiff coach and players afterwards. They were frustrated. They were obviously very pleased that it came and turned up, and that's what Munster are going to meet. People see a bit of vulnerability, and I think we've seen last year Munster were more free flowing and more ambitious and probably better away from home at times. So it's something that, again, it's a mental, maybe it's a mental approach, something they've got to talk about and be aware of, because you can't talk about any sort of fatigue here. They're so early into the season. So yeah, they all dropped a little bit. It's only a couple of percent, and maybe expecting and expecting things to happen a little bit. That can happen. I've been there myself. Obviously, the big positive is tears. They won the game, and it wasn't that individuals were way off and had a horrendous performance. I think it's just collectively, even picking Star of the Week or Player of the Match. Jack Crowley did some brilliant things in the game, but he had some mistakes as well. And it's difficult to pick people out and say, there's five or six guys here who were in contention for Player of the Match. There wasn't. They were all a little bit off key. Flat in their performances, and they've got to be mindful of that. I just think, and look, we'll wait and see at the end of the season, but of course you're going to probably lose games and pick up a bonus point and losing and different things when you're away from home and all that kind of stuff. But I think they left a point behind them on Saturday night, and that would frustrate a little bit. And look, it's very early. It's trying to find these combinations, and things were all positive after round one, and maybe everyone bought into that a little bit, and maybe it seeped into the players a little bit. So yeah, of course they showed great fight and determination, but they were just inaccurate in what they were doing, and yeah, a little bit frustrating. But obviously the most important thing was to get the results, and this week is they're at home again, and if you get three results in the first three rounds, positive results, well, nobody will look back and start breaking up and analyzing, over analyzing the performances, I think, because we know what's coming after that, having to go to Dublin to play Leinster. So yeah, you always want things to work on, and I think there's certain things that are in their control. It's not as if they were totally blown away and not good enough to dominate that game. I think, you know, the breakdown was the big one, and that urgency and some of the shape and the carrying was poor. And Cardiff were obviously very, very up for this and very physical side as well. So, it was a pity, but I'm sure this week they'll be working on, you know, they'll go to Virgin Media Park and they'll try and get that little bit of zip and energy, and they'll have a little bit of memory from the results back in February against Edinburgh and Cork. So, it's positive. You don't want to kind of create any sort of alarm bells early on, but I think they need to be better than that. And it's about setting a high standard. And I think Clayton McMillan mentioned that, and it sounds, you know, very obvious, but every team wants to try and get consistency, but consistency around your fundamentals, your breakdown, your scrum, your line out, and defensively, they're things that kind of set your stall out as a team, and you become hard to break. It was just too easy at times for Cardiff to kind of break up Munster's attack early on in that game, particularly in that first half on Saturday night.
I think, Fiona, maybe last year, this is a game that Munster might well have lost. And as Kenny was saying, you're trying to find that consistency, but winning while you're trying to find that consistency is obviously going to help.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the thing. And I suppose that's what the coaching staff will focus on with the team just after the game, you know, say, look, we won, but we do have stuff to work on. But certainly, I think confidence was down last year. There was a lot going on in the background, you know, at this time last year. So to be able to have that settled team to come away with, as Quinny said, not have the best performance, certainly areas to work on, but be able to score a couple of tries, good tries at that, and come away with those points. Obviously, as Quinny said, you left one behind, but certainly I think the start to the season and away in Scarlett's, home to Cardiff, getting those two wins is very big for this team. And it's only bigger games coming up. We were only chatting there that, you know, you've the likes of Zebre, where sometimes you think we're guaranteed points. That's those days are gone, you know, like even they've two wins out of two this season, but as well.
Fiona, to put it in context, and you're coaching every week, if you lose seven turnovers in the first half, like that's seven opportunities that you've kind of blown. Like Alex Mann and Dan Thomas and Alan Lawrence were brilliant. Our back row were non-existent in that first half. Yeah. Now I know Ruan Quinn and Gavin Coombs and Thomas Ahern can't run and be at there at every breakdown to clean out, but where was the Munster turnovers? Where was their pressure at the breakdown? They got to be far more aggressive, have far more urgency to get to breakdowns. And you know, opposition will target them. And you're not playing with a natural number seven, really, when we see, you know, Alex Kendallan and John Hodnett are not there. They're more your kind of natural sevens. Ruan Quinn is a brilliant, brilliant rugby player. And I know he's played seven for Ireland very effectively under 20s, but he's probably not a natural number seven.
No,
I'm not saying that happens in a game. It's like your scrum or your line out going wrong in a day. You force it, and it's one of these things that can just get worse as the game goes on. I think Munster fixed that as regards. They didn't give those turnovers in the second half. So I'm sure it was a big focus in halftime. But, you know, we talk about Munster's attack and opportunities that they didn't create. A good bit of that was down to the quality ball and possession that was made available to Ethan Coughlin. You know, the other scenario is Craig Casey is just, he's world class at the speed of pass and all that stuff. But it would be unfair to kind of go, well, Ethan Coughlin was a bit slower, he wasn't as quick as Casey. That's not the case here. I think if Craig Casey was playing, he still would have struggled to get that ball away at times because even on breakdowns that they won and resourced, they were slow rocks. There was a lot of slow rocks there, and that's probably something that they just, and it's not about kind of blasting people out of it. It's just about being aware, technically being better, having more urgency on ball carrier.
That's where I saw it.
Ball presentation, all that kind of stuff. But look, some of them are hard to stop. You know, Alex Mann and Thomas, Dan Thomas, they were in really quickly. They got a couple of brilliant ones, and straight away you're watching, you go, that's a penalty. That's going to be a penalty. It's, you know, you're only 1 second in and you're saying, no one's going to shift him out of there. So,
Yeah, you're right as well, Quinny, that we didn't have anyone in that waiting in that kind of pocket in behind trying to that out and out seven waiting to get that turnover. The week before I thought we were far more hungry at turnovers, whereas this week they were just seemed at home. They were happy to fan out when they did, when Cardiff did have the ball.
And it makes a difference to, the first try for the crossfield kick. Like Munster become very compressed. There's
There.
quick breakdowns. Even when Gavin Coombs was sin-binned, there's pressure,
Yeah.
pressure, pressure. The turnover relieves that pressure at times. So Cardiff were able to build that pressure. And look, there's no doubt Munster manned up, and they were putting in tackles, closing carries from Cardiff and all that kind of stuff. But it's just, their breakdown wasn't good enough the other night. And it does look, I think it's the challenge for any team, isn't it? You want to go after the opposition breakdown, particularly when one of their strengths is the cohesion and the
Cohesion.
attack. And Cardiff targeted them brilliantly there, and credit to them for that. But they're going to get the same against Edinburgh on Friday night. Hamish Watson, he was named against Ulster. I know the game was called off. Bradbury, all these guys that Edinburgh
Bradbury.
have, they're good at the breakdown, and they'll go after Munster there. So I'm sure there'll be a big focus on that this week.
And that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the full episode, where we will name our star of the week and we look ahead to this weekend's clash with Edinburgh, you can become an Off the Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off the Ball app, Apple, Spotify, or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.